This is the Intentional Living Center and our ministry headquarters for Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio. And we're in our center studios here with Jennifer and Stephen. Our team is on the phones, and we're talking, praying with people from all around the country. And our podcasts go out from here as well, where we got one goal here at Intentional Living, and that's to help you experience your life the way God intended. And we're continuing the discussion from yesterday on how you can experience your single parenting life as God intended. And of course, as you know, God's intention wasn't for you to have to do it all alone. But you are, and God is good, and He loves you, and He's going to help you pick up the slack, and He's going to be with you, and He loves you, and you can do it. And we've got a lot of people testifying to that fact yesterday. By the way, if you missed it, you missed a great show. You got to go back and hear it in the archives. But we're continuing that today with callers who are standing by. We're going to get to here in just a moment. If you want to share your story and answer that question, what do you want others to know about your experience as a single mom or dad, you can call 888-888-1717 is the number. And there's a lot of encouragement coming. Let's go. Jeanette is going to start us in Michigan. How are you, Jeanette?
I am fine. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you for your call. What were your experiences, and what do you want to share with others listening today?
Well, I raised three children on my own, but not really, because, you know, God was in my life, and things didn't turn out the way I planned to be married for the rest of my life. But, you know, with God, all things are possible, because I raised three beautiful children, and two of my children ended up being Sunday school teachers. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, my son doesn't believe in God, but I still keep him in my prayers. But they turned out very well. They all have promising jobs, and they call me on a daily basis to keep in touch with me.
That's nice.
And
hey, listen, God's not done with your one son either at this point. You continue to pray. I know you know that. Let me ask you this, Jeanette. We got young moms listening, or dads, and they're kind of struggling in this process. What are two or three things that you did or were important to you? Really, really practical things that made a difference.
Actually, I had a church family that supported me, and when I needed a little extra help, they were there, always there, and always keeping my faith. I worked double time to support them, but you know, having family and church family, and depending on them and not being afraid to ask for a little help,
that's right,
really helps you mentally. Mm-hmm. It helps you mentally.
Yeah. So you were able to do that. You were able to ask for it when you needed some help.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I needed to. Sometimes you just need that break, you know, for rest, physically, mentally. But, you know, when you have God in the picture, you know, things are 1,000 times easier on you.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. You know, just to pick up on that, Jeanette, I know some churches have a ministry to single moms, and should be dads too, because sometimes single dads may not be as capable of doing some things around the house they need help with. But I know a lot of churches will have, or some churches will have ministries for single moms where some of the people that are mechanical, maybe people in the church that have the skills, electric and air conditioning and construction, are willing to volunteer and go and do some repairs and things. I'll tell you what, it's those little things that can make a huge difference. You know, these are some practical things that, what would Jesus do, right? WWJD, what would Jesus do? I think He would be encouraging, hey, come on, guys, if you can help, let's help. You know, let's be a part of the community that can make a difference. That's for sure. All right. Appreciate that. Let me go to Mary, who's in Texas. Hi, Mary. How are you today?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your take? What's your experience as a single mom?
So I was single for about 3 years. We are back together. Mm. I kept telling my boys, like, let's keep praying for Dad, because that's not the Dad that he really is. He got into drugs and alcohol. Mm. I'm like, let's don't give up on praying. So we just one day we packed up and left. And he had to come in jail. And then after he was in jail, he's like, I do want my life to be turned around. I'm like, then you need to really show it that way. We can trust you and, like, get back together and be a Christian family. And he's like, well, as soon as I get out of jail, I'll go to rehab. And he did that. And then after that, we got back together.
Good for you.
It was very hard, especially leaving with nothing. After I had left, he took my car away. So I had to get myself a car to start driving again. Because I didn't file for divorce because he was in way too much drugs and alcohol. And I was like, it's just going to make it worse if I'm doing it right now. Mm. But
are you guys, how long have you been back together now, Mary?
It's going to be 2 years in June. Oh,
all right. And how's it going?
Good. Very good.
Good. So he said, hey, I'm done with my life the way it was. And you're involved in church. And that's great. Yep. How'd the kids respond to that when coming all back together? Has that been a positive thing for the kids?
Oh yeah. So even when I was by myself, because it would get so hard, I did reach out to do counseling. And I didn't go to just one counselor, because sometimes it's better to get a Christian counselor than a counselor that you pay and they're just listen. So I did counsel a couple of with different kinds of counselors, and also with my boys, because a lot of times it was so hard because they couldn't understand the way, because Dad was completely out of the picture. Like, he was not there for them at all. So we did counseling before we all went back together.
Mm. Well, it's good that you guys have gone through the process. I know you're back 2 years together. Continue that if you can, the counseling, getting help, working through the issues, staying the course. But God bless you. And I think Mary's call is a reminder that God may do some amazing things if you trust Him. Trust Him. Be strong, be confident, get help, reach out. And see what God has in store for you. Jennifer, I know you have a story. You were a single mom for a period of time. How long were you really single? I mean, doing this alone?
15 years.
Well, not a little time, 15 years. Okay, can you share your story in just a moment?
I'd be happy to.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll hear from our own Jennifer in about 2 minutes.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
You know what this means? This means a negative reversing force. Disappointed, discouraged, disillusioned. And I looked at some other words. You think of disability, right? It's the negative force against ability. Disbelief, it's the negative force against belief. Discontent, a negative force against being content, or I dislike, a negative force against liking. And I thought about this in terms of, if we're feeling disappointed today or discouraged or disillusioned, what do those words really say to us?
It's a reminder that when we diss something, right, that's really not only disrespect, but discouragement. And that's really it's a lack of courage. It's really what it is, taking courage away. And so if you're feeling that, hopefully you're getting some encouragement today from Intentional Living. And thank you, members, who are supporting and praying for and undergirding this financially every day. Your support is making a huge difference. And when you join us in support, how do I do that? $1 a day, whatever God lays on your heart. Some of you can able to do more. Of course, that's more helpful, more people to reach. But come and be a part of the team. Please, we need your help. You can call right during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717, press number 2, or anytime, go online to theintentionallife.com. All right, Jennifer, 15 years, you were a single mom?
Yes.
But you, dad was still very active. You guys were still active together.
So I got married. We did everything, quote unquote, the right way. We were married for 5 years, and then things just fell apart. And we got a divorce, and we had a one-year-old daughter. And I will tell you that I felt like everything was going to shambles. Why did this happen? And I felt like a failure. Because we had this little girl, and I was angry. Our feelings were both hurt, and there was a lot to go through. And I did make an intentional decision to eat a big slice of humble pie and extend an olive branch, because our problems were not our daughter's problems. And I didn't want her to grow up in a negative environment. As much as we had, you know, as much as we could be responsible for. And so we talked, and we both agreed to do things as best we could for Kara's sake. And God has been very wonderful, because we did kind of come full circle. We are friends even now, but a huge thing, we did have boundaries. And he would come to my home in the morning so I could go to work. He was responsible for taking care of the school and getting her ready. And when I got out of work, I would go and volunteer at her school and pick her up later in the day. And we had that system for a long time. And I never had any kind of restrictions. You know, you go to dad's house half the time, you come. She could see her dad whenever she wanted. She said, "Can I see dad?" Of course. And he would either come to our home, or she would go to his house. We always spent holidays together as a family for her sake. And so a big lesson that I learned is, A, you're not a failure. And setting aside your differences really is great for your kid or kids.
Yeah. So your arrangement was that your daughter stayed with you.
Yes.
Lived with you, but it was kind of, hey, dad was involved coming.
Yes, and we never talked poorly about each other. That was the other boundary. You know, I said, whatever differences we have, we should never talk bad about each other.
Yeah.
And also, if I say no, that means no for you. And if you say no, that's going to be no for me. Yeah. So having those kind of rules and kind of getting on a team, if you will, co-parenting, it really helped a lot. And Kara really didn't know the difference. And I mean, she knew, because we always told her. We were very honest. You know, it wasn't your fault. Mom and dad had problems, and that's okay. It happens. But we love you very much, and we always kept that family unit for her.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Jennifer. That's a good reminder. And I would say to any single mom or dad today, you know that intellectually, that needs to be putting the priority on what's best for the child, not for me. Put humble pie, as you say, and willing to maintain and work on a relationship with an ex-spouse. And I think your story, Jennifer, is a reminder when we talk about single parenting, because one of the callers that we have recorded here, maybe share up a little bit later, talks about the difference between single parenting and parenting alone. Because you really didn't parent alone.
No.
But you were single in terms of you weren't married.
Right.
And you were raising your child, but you were doing it together.
Yes.
And, of course, we got on a continuum of parents. Some of you have a spouse that is deceased, and you are parenting alone, or the spouse is completely absent, or the other parent, and you're still parenting alone. Sometimes it's more the co-parenting, like you're talking about, where the child is being parented, but maybe in two different spots at times. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Mary on line one, who wants to join us from Michigan. Yes, hi there, Mary. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm fine, thank you. I'm really spoiled. I'm getting to talk to him, Dr. Randy Carlson.
Oh, I wish my wife would listen. if she felt spoiled to listen,
the radio and give me the business.
All right. Well, what have you learned, Mary, about single parenting?
Well, I single parented from when I was about, let's see, 21 to about, oh my goodness, in my 60s, and right now I'm 77. Anyways, I did it by watching Little House on the Prairie to begin with when I was real young. And I had a Benjamin Franklin potbelly stove. I chopped my own wood. My wow. neighbors would bring me wood to chop. I had a boyfriend that taught me how to chop it without axing my leg, you know. I had a sewing machine, and I made drapes and clothes for the kids. I made my own food. It was, you know, I shopped in bulk. At one point, I had to walk to the store 2 miles.
You sound like Laura. You do sound like Laura Ingalls in Little House on the Prairie, you know.
Well, I was really determined. I really loved my girls, Mr. Carlson.
Yeah.
I really did. But the only thing that really I feel bad about right now is that I didn't buy out enough personal one-on-one time with each girl to spend with each girl. The three girls, and at this point in time in my life, I'm real close to one of them, but the other two are off living their life, and I don't know what they're doing, and I worry about them, so I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, listen, you provided for them, you stepped in the gap, Mary, you did the important thing of providing for them and doing the things that are needed, but there's always, I don't think we can get through parenting. Because I really can't think of anything in life that's more, got the potential for more regrets and disappointment than parenting. Right? I mean, and that's for parents who've been there and working together and everything is great. We all can have issues too. You know, we look back and think, oh man, I should have been this and that. And I think about myself when I look back to the earlier years when our kids were at home. I was really busy in ministry, building ministry, traveling, speaking, writing, and probably more than I needed to or should have. But you know, I think God has a way of making up. If we get stuck in the regrets and Satan, I think, loves to camp there. It can become sort of a cesspool in our mind of things. Well, I should have and I could have. And hey, listen, we're not there and we can't redo it. We can't rewind it. This isn't back to the future, you know. We're here. We're in the future. Now, the question is, what am I going to do today intentionally and over the next 30 days? What one thing can I do today as a single mom or dad for the next 30 days that'll make the single biggest difference in the life of my family? And do that and give God the glory and you get the benefit for it. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
We've all been discouraged. Perhaps a relationship didn't pan out, or you didn't get that job you applied for, or maybe your life hasn't gone as you expected.
When people become discouraged, it's usually because they've first been disappointed. Our formula is expectation minus reality equals disappointment, because disappointment always follows something that we expect that doesn't turn into reality.
In Dr. Randy's message, Overcoming Discouragement, he provides you with practical advice for how to not let discouragement get in the way and how to find your strength in Christ. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. We appreciate you all, your prayers, your support. Wow, what a difference. 888-888-1717 is the number. Business hours, West Coast, call, press number 2, and one of our staff will sort of magically appear on the phone. And they are not artificial intelligence. These are real intelligent people, all right? Or you can go online to theintentionallife.com. All right, time is passing. Let's go. Kay, you're next in Michigan. How are you?
I am beyond blessed.
Amen. Tell us your story, being a single mom. What have you learned?
I was a single mom from the time my son was born when I was 21 until he left the home. And I would encourage anybody that doesn't have family close to connect with a God, Bible-believing church.
Yep.
Because my folks moved away when my son was little and several hundred miles away. And the church stepped up and supported us emotionally, spiritually, of course, but also physically. I mean, one of the gentlemen at church gave my son and I tickets to a Detroit Tigers game so I could take them because there was no way that I could afford it. The ladies' Bible study at church prayed me through nursing school. I've been a nurse now over 30 years.
Amen.
One man at church, his name was Bill Powell. We lived in Midland, Michigan. And every Sunday, Bill would brace himself because David would do a full-on body slam, jump in his arms. And it was just amazing because Bill was that person for him. And so get connected with a local church because that will feed your family in more ways than you can imagine.
Amen. And kudos to the names you mentioned there in Midland, other places. These men, and these people step up and say, hey, I can do a small part to make it. You know how, did you just hear what was said? We've got Kay saying, someone gave me tickets to the Tigers, baseball. Someone, a small investment. And the difference it makes is she reflects on it years later. Sometimes it's not the huge things, it's the small things. It's the things that say, hey, I care enough to get involved in your life in this way. Boy, that's powerful. All right, Eddie, you've been waiting there in Arizona. Go right ahead. Appreciate your call.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go right ahead.
My story's kind of unique, but it's to encourage those that men who may have a similarity to the story. I'm a recovering alcoholic going on 35 years. When I met my wife, I had close to 14 years. And I met her in church and come to find out she also was recovering. Anyways, long story short, we got married. Her daughter passed away and we were left with two grandbabies. One baby was a couple of days old and the other one 3 months. So we started the process of adoption, and my wife slipped and went back out and drinking, so the adoption people said that she couldn't adopt, and I pleaded with the courts to not take the babies away from me. I had fallen in love with them, and I wasn't a biological grandpa or in any means related to them in blood, but only in love. And the court said, okay, they allow the children to stay with me, but I was still working, and I told them I'd still take them to daycare. I'd pick them up, and I'd bring them home, feed them, bathe them, and sleep with them. And this went on for 3 months, and I was by myself. Not literally by myself. I'd go to my church, was very supportive and emotionally, and they would always reach out, and if I needed a break, you know, take them. But I was just so protective of the babies that I needed to be with them when I wasn't at work. And so this went on for 3 months till my wife got herself together, and we started. I started allowing the kids to see her and so forth, and finally the course allowed me to adopt the children, and allowed her to move back into the home so long as she stayed with the program they assigned her. But the 3 months that I was alone with the kids, it seemed like eternity at the time, but it was one day at a time.
Yeah,
as some of the ladies already expressed, 1 hour at a time.
Yep, that's the key.
It was,
you know, that's really the key, Eddie. Is which this is true in your story, and all of our stories, but certainly for single moms and dads, one day at a time. That's why we tell you, get up today and ask yourself, what one thing could you do today? That's what Eddie did for 3 months. What we're going to do today to be the most intentional in the life of these precious children that I'm allowed to be a part of in their lives. All right, I'll tell you what, I got time. Just thank you, Eddie. I got time for Mary. She's been waiting in Texas. I want to get you on here. I'm sorry, we're going to Shelley. Shelley, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, go right ahead. I'm sorry, I got the right phone line, but the wrong name. Now I'm right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. All right, so way back in 1979, I had just had my third little baby boy, and he was 2 weeks old, and I was giving him the boys a bath in the bathtub, and I got a phone call from my husband at the time at work that said, I just don't want to be married anymore, and so I'm just not going to come home anymore. So from that time on, it was a shock, but I had to get strong and be a strong person. I had just quit my job because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I got busy and called work, and they took me back. And I don't know what I would have done without the support of the people at my job. Like the other caller had said, you got to put yourself in the place with good people who are going to support you morally, mentally, maybe not financially as important as all the other things. And I worried, my top worry was when I got that phone call, the very first thing I thought of, what is going to happen to my boys? They're not going to have a dad, even if he may not have been the best person. Or dad, he was a dad, and I didn't grow up that way. I had a wonderful father. Nobody I knew was really divorced. It felt like such a scandal, and it was different in 1979 than it is now, too. Yeah. It wasn't quite so common. So I fought through it, and every day I went to work. I had several people say you should just go on welfare, which is what they called the system at the time, so you can stay home with your kids. You could probably make more money. I said, no, I'm going to work. They need to see a mom that works. I feel bad that I can't be with them all day, but they're going to see that. And I had other people telling me this good advice like that, too. Just stay strong. Mm-hmm. They don't need to see you crying and carrying on. And also, one other piece of advice is, like, I guess another caller had said, don't ever talk bad about their dad.
Amen to that. Got to run. Thank you for that. Don't talk bad about anybody. As much as possible, live at peace with everyone, the scripture says. Great wisdom today. Thank you all for joining in yesterday's show and today on this topic of single moms and dads and what you want to share your experience with others. Gotta run. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen and the rest of the team, coming to you from our Intentional Living Center studios in Tucson, Arizona. And we'll be back again next time. And a reminder, this program exists because of your prayers and support, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.